Our Father, we worship you. We're so grateful for our fathers and the covering that they have provided. Thank you so much, Lord, for the privilege to be under their ministry. As we go into your word, Lord, we lift up our eyes unto you and we ask for fresh mercy from your throne, unction and anointing upon my heart and upon my lips. Lord God, Lord, just so that your will be done in spite of me. Let it come forth, Lord, like a river of life. The same unction anointed beyond the ears and the hearts of my brethren to unlock our understanding. So that, Lord, in your light, we will see light, Lord, this morning in the name of Jesus. And Lord, in that light, O God, that you will illuminate our minds. You give us power to submit our wills more to your will and to your word. And you will cause, Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, Lord, to work, Lord, to a greater measure in our emotions, causing us to become more like Jesus in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, as your word goes forth under the covenant of our fathers. Let yokes be broken. Let veils be torn and let blind eyes be opened. Let strength come to our feet and our ankle bones, enabling us to be doers of the things that we learn and not hearers only in the name of Jesus. Lord, I also ask for mercy, Lord, to enable me to be concise and precise, speaking as an oracle of God, not speaking my own words, but only those things that you would have me say, so that, Lord, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, I will bring forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old to exalt Jesus, to glorify his name, and to cause blessing to come to your people in the name of Jesus. Lord, come against every spirit of pride. We bind you. We break your hold. We cast you out of our midst. And we let there be a free flow, an abundant supply of your spirit, causing your purpose to be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. It's great to be in the house of the Lord again this morning, particularly when we're gathered here under the covering of our fathers. Amen. Covering covers the rest. Amen. Amen. And thank God, anywhere where there's the covering of God, there's no failure. There's no lack of signal. No, it covers. So there's security. Amen. Thank God for covering. Amen. Just want to honor our fathers, pastors. We're going straight into the word, and we're in the book of today we are starting 2 Thessalonians. Amen. So we give God all the praise. Hallelujah. But just a quick recap about what we looked at in 1 Thessalonians 2 weeks ago, verses 22 to 28. And the Holy Spirit, by his help, you know, emphasized to us the importance of fleeing the appearance of evil. Now, what is the appearance of evil? It is anything that appeals to your mind or appeals to your emotion. And it's not the will of God at that time. That's the appearance of evil. You know, and, you know, because we're growing spiritually, it is the will of God. For the Bible says that, you know, that we may prove the good will of God in Romans chapter 12 in verse 2. The acceptable will of God and then the perfect will of God. So it means that there's a progressive growth. And each stage has a measure of light that we're supposed to be walking in. Amen. So this is about light. It's about having the light of God in sufficient measure flowing through our hearts, you know, under the covenant of our fathers into our lives. So as we walk, is as the Bible says, in thy light we see light. Christianity is about light. The Bible talks about the inheritance of the saints in light. It's about light. So you must see where you are going. You must see what God is showing you. Amen. Because there's so much around that Satan wants you to see. But we must see what God wants us to see. Amen? So as we see the will of God, we walk deeper and deeper in the will of God. The Bible says the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. So we see that light increasing. So you must not be operating at a lower level of light than you ought to. That's the will of God for us. Because when you do that, you become prone to being deceived by the appearance of evil. And we saw that a lack of diligence, we saw the example of Joshua, who did not inquire of God about the Gibeonites, a lack of diligence in walking with God, you know, can make you make a wrong mistake. And because of that, he couldn't occupy all the land because, you know, they were not Israelites. And they went and made a pact with them and did not inquire. Same way with us. You know, we form partnerships with people that are not of God. That we not ask God because it's convenient or it looks as if it will enhance. But it's not going to enhance if it's not the will of God. The way it works for us is not the way it works for them in the world. So we can't do what the world is doing and expect it to work for us. Another thing we see that hinders us is covetousness from walking in the light. So when we desire something that we don't have the spiritual capability for at that time, it can block off the limit, block it totally, but it can limit the amount of light that you get. So that you will not see as you see. So Lot looked at the land and it was pleasant, but the Bible says it was pitched towards Sodom. And he didn't see that part. So he ran into it and he took the covering of Father, thank God for covering. He took the covering of Father Abraham to deliver him out of the place that he had chosen by himself. May God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. And we see that also offense can hinder. You know, Moses got offended because of what people did. And people can offend you. But we must forgive, brethren. It's not an option. We must forgive. And Moses, you know, the Bible says they provoked him. So he spake unadvisedly with his lips. You know, and because of that, God said, you're not entering land now. We saw it. But, I mean, he practically had done all the work, you know, that pastor always teaches us. But, you know, just to mark his thinking that you can't take God for granted, you know. And it's a lesson to us as well, you know, to understand that, you know, there is no place where you are justified to be offended. There is no place to be justified to be offended. You have to let it go. And as you commune with God, you find that the offense won't even stay. Because you're cleaning all the time. And that's the will of God. So how do you overcome all these things? We do this by communing with God. Frequently, and that's the key word. Frequently asking God for mercy. With a heart of thanksgiving to do the will of God. Praying in the Spirit at the same time as we meditate on God's word. And as we do that, we're able to practice obedience. So the more we practice obedience, the more light we have. Amen. Because, you know, when you sow to the Spirit, you of the Spirit reap life. The Bible says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, you reap in mercy. You get more light. Anytime you do the will of God, you get more light. And that light helps to see clearer the path into our destiny. Then we also saw that it's the purpose of God to sanctify us wholly, spirit, soul, and body. Now, the sanctification of the Spirit is done in an instant when we get born again, when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior and our Lord. And when we say that, the Bible says, all things are passed away. All things are become new. All things in the Spirit. But then there's a residual sin nature in the soul and in the body. And by progressively, you know, using the blood, the Word, and the Spirit, we dominate that sin nature, and then we cleanse it out. You know, we saw that in last lesson in detail. And as Pastor taught us, when he was teaching us beautifully from the Word, you know, he showed us that the soap that you use, Bible talks about the washing of water by the Word. The soap is the blood of Jesus. You know, it cleanses your sin. The water is the life of God. And the sponge is travail. So the blood goes in there to mop up and remove every dirt of sin. The water now flows through prayer. Amen. You know, as the life, as you receive life, you know, into your heart, and you pour it out in deep intercession, you as well, you use a plunger to remove everywhere where there's a block. So that there's a free flow of life of God into our souls and into our bodies. So we become superconductors of the life of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's the will of God for us. That's our destiny. That's what God is doing now. No, so that we can become without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. And so we embrace this lifestyle of the pattern son. Bible says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers with supplication, with strong crying and tears. So that's where we embrace it, because we know that God is faithful. We saw that in our last lesson, that God is faithful. He's the one doing the work. We are just cooperating. He's at work in us, both to will and to do. Our job is to work out what God is working in. And Bible says that he has sworn in Hebrews chapter 6. Amen. He has not only given us the promise, he has sworn by himself that he's going to finish that work that he has begun. Hallelujah. Let's give him a clap of it. Amen. He has sworn. There is no greater. So God has sworn by himself that, and he said, you're going to carry the glory of God. You know, like in the world, say, if it's the last thing I do, it's not going to be the last thing God does. You know, as you are going to carry the glory of God. The key now is to position ourselves so that we now allow God to work out what he has worked in. So we are diligent to obey instruction of our spiritual fathers, okay? And then we saw that the Apostle Paul instructs us to pray for our spiritual fathers, okay, who are ahead of us on this highway to Zion. And we saw a type of it, you know, with Aaron and her. You know, it's important to strengthen their hands so they're not weary and they're not discouraged, because they are the ones that are leading us on that path. Amen. And it's in our interest to minister life, to minister power that strengthens them, that refreshes them, that encourages them, that illuminates, it adds to their light. They can't do it without us. The Bible says, I and the children the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders. So it's I and the children. They pray for us. We also pray for them. It's mandatory. It's not optional. It's not optional. So if you're not doing this, you need to just write it down that this one thing I need to add to it. No, I need to be doing this. We need to be praying for them. I'm not talking about sitting down and saying, Father, I pray for Pastor Olivia, Mommy Sarah, in Jesus' name. Not that type of prayer. The type of prayer that they pray for you. All types of prayer. On your knee. Yeah. You find time and you do it. At least 1 hour. You can determine the frequency. God will help us. Amen. In Gideon's, we do it once a month. You know, but everybody, depending on how God has revealed it to him, there's light. Amen. You do it and you give back. And the more you pray for, the more you get. Amen. You know, we're not doing it to get, we're doing it to give. We're doing it to love, we're doing it to help, because we've seen so much that they do already. So really, we just want to, we owe a debt and want to pay some of the debts. By adventure, if God will help us to repay. But Philemon couldn't repay what he owed Paul. But God will help us. Amen. But at least start depositing something. Amen. That's the will of God for us. Okay. So we saw that. So the way we minister them spiritually, we minister them physically, the way Joshua did to Moses, the way Elisha did to Elijah. We minister both spiritually and physically, and then God also ministers to us. Okay, so today we are beginning 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, amen. So let's begin from verse 1, naturally. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read it together, brethren. Are you with me this morning? Are you with me? All right. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Both of them. Next verse. We are bound to thank God. How many times? How frequently? Always. For you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceeding at the quantum leap. Amen. Faith, your faith is growing exceedingly. And the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth. It's quantum leap right here. God is giving us quantum leap. Amen. So let's go back to verse 1. All right. We see from verse 1. So we see Silvanus is also Silas. Amen. Silas, and his name talks about means, you know, forest. You know, forest. You know, the Bible says that when a man has, when the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. You know, when you grow, when it falls, it's the smallest. But after it grows, it becomes a mighty oak that gives a shade for the birds of the air. You know, he was like that, Silas. You know, Silas joined Paul after Barnabas left. Another person will not take our place in Jesus' name. All right, but he joined Paul after Barnabas left, and he remained faithful unto the end, to the point where we see a corporate introduction of Paul, Silas, and Timothy as apostles, even though Silas and Timothy were Paul's spiritual sons. But because they were found faithful, God over time promoted them into the apostolic office. Amen. Hallelujah. So it tells you that God is watching faithfulness. It is important, it is required of a steward that a man be found faithful. So that faithfulness there. So we see a corporate, it was just like God said in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God's Elohim. God is an inclusive person. Amen. It's not like, if you see anything in ministry that is exclusive, that you know they're still growing. Amen. Because the more you know God, the more you understand that God is an inclusive person. He is a person that says, come up hither. He doesn't want to be there alone. He's calling up us up hither. So the first thing is that you see here is the inclusiveness of God. And this apostolic leadership was set over the church of the Thessalonians in God. So you see that they were over a particular region. Okay? The one says church there doesn't mean one single church. It's talking about all the churches. So God has divine government. And in God's divine government, God has the people that he's using to supply oil to the different churches. It's not a man-made division. It's not how many branches you have. It's about your spiritual capacity and your relationship with God. It's something the Holy Spirit himself is doing. Man cannot do it by political affiliation. It's something that God is doing. So it's when we get to heaven, that's why Paul said that we should not judge before the time. It's when you get there that you will see who is who. You will know who was supplying, what was going on in that church is coming from a totally different person in a totally different church. It's not by arrangement. God has his own anatomy and men can be doing their own. They cannot force God to do things their own way. God is not leave them. That song we sing, you don't need a man to show that you are God. A man, it's God is God, and he will do what he wants to do with or without you and I. The privilege is ours to be part of it, and so that's why we see here that the Barnabas went off, but Silas took his place. Straight. And you can see there, it should have been Paul, Barnabas, and Timothy. But it was Paul, Silas, and Timothy. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. So we see an inclusive God. Give me Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Message Bible. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Genesis chapter 1, quickly. Let's read together. God spoke. Let us make human beings. Where? In our image. Make them reflecting our nature. So they can be what? So they can be what? Responsible. God doesn't want irresponsible children. He wants responsible children that will grow up to be mature. Amen? Responsible for the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself. These are God's children. And every animal that moves on the face of the earth. So we see here that responsibility has come to us who call ourselves children of God. We cannot sit down and fold our hands. We go understand the Father's business and begin to go about the Father's business. So it's the will of God. So we see here that enforcing the kingdom of God is a necessity, is our responsibility from the scripture. Because God is calling us up hither. Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, it says, come up hither, that I may show you things that will be hereafter. God doesn't want us to remain in one level of light. When you enter into one place and you've achieved something, it's a new beginning. Every end is a beginning. And you begin afresh, and you open up your heart, and then God gives you fresh light, so you can see deeper into the purpose of God. See further. And as the Bible talks about the sons of Issachar, of which our parents are a type. Amen? Praise the Lord. Alright, so we see. So it's the will of God for the kingdom of God to be enforced first in our lives, then in our home, then in our community, then in our nation, and then on earth itself. So we have a project that we are working on. We are not idle. We are not eating and sleeping and drinking. We are going about the Father's business with a sense of purpose. Very important here. And the key principle here is faithfulness. the more faithful you are to the responsibility God has given you, the more promotion will come. Look at Luke chapter 16, verse 10. And verse 10, and give me the Amplified Bible, please. Thank you. Amplified Bible. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is dishonest and unjust in a very little thing is dishonest and unjust also in much. This thing is divine. Because many times people say, I made a mistake because it was a very small thing. If you give me something bigger, I will be faithful in it. That's human thinking. I didn't take it seriously. If you don't take it seriously in the natural, in the small little thing, how on earth do you think God will commit the big thing to you? Even the big thing, you won't even know what the big thing is. Because many times you don't know what is big or what is little. It's only after you've seen the effect that you now say, I didn't know it was that important. So that's why it must be a lifestyle. Faithfulness to the instructions we have been given. Faithfulness to the purposes of God for your life. Faithfulness to be obedient to instruction, to be loyal to God. Faithfulness is something God is watching and something God is marking. Look at verse 12. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the case of unrighteous mammon, deceitful riches, money, possessions, who will entrust to you the true riches? God will entrust true riches to us in Jesus' name. Okay? So what are we saying here? We're saying we must prove our faithfulness. And God is the one helping us. Bible says it takes mercy to be faithful. So God himself is giving you mercy. That's why he said that church, go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Why he said that church is in God and in Christ. It's very important. That description is extremely important because we are in God. Because everything we are doing is from God. God is in us and we are in him. Amen. So you are not operating. This is a mentality and a consciousness that we need to have. And as I'm sharing it with you, I'm also speaking to myself. It's very important that we have this consciousness that we have a spiritual habitat. See, fish operate in the sea. Monkeys operate on trees. Isn't it? Lions and elephants and hyenas operate where? On the land. Everybody has their habitat. Now, if the lion goes to go and struggle with the shark, no matter if he's the king of the jungle, because he's not in his habitat, because he is at his disadvantage, and the shark will deal with him, because the shark is on home soil. The same way, if a fish is on a branch in a tree, the monkey will make a monkey of it. Hallelujah. You make a monkey of it. So what are we saying? You understand, you are in the presence of God. You are living in God. And God is living in you. You must operate from your habitat. Because now your habitat, nobody can stand against you. We are in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bible talks about the Bible. Let's put some scripture behind it. So we can see it clearly, look at Colossians 3, verse 3, so we can understand it clearly. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So, when the devil is saying he's going to do this, or he's going to do that, or he's trying to do something, you understand the fact that, because he wants to get you out of your habitat. See, the habitat is your mind. It's a mind game. Thank you, Pastor Larry. It's a mind game. So once you think you are on the land, then you are in his habitat. But when you remember that you are in him, amen. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. The Bible says in him. The Bible talks about in verse 7. It says in whom? Ephesians 1. So you need to understand, this is your habitat. This is where we operate from. A vantage point. It's not only when we are praying. It's every time. And that's what goes. Say, in whom We have redemption. Verse 4. Thank you. According as he has chosen us, where? In him. You are not out of him. You are not walking on the earth. He is in around you. We are in him. Amen. So you must understand that. So we operate with that faith so that we can operate supernaturally. So we live natural lives supernaturally. That's the will of God for us. So it is from that habitat that we drink. We drink from our habitat. Because you know, all around you, there is a sea. Is it just like there's a sea of glass around God's throne? There's a sea of the love of God. There's a sea of the mercy of God. There's a sea of the grace of God flowing around you. Everywhere you're going, there's a sea flowing around you. So when you want, just take a cup, drink. Lord, have mercy on me in this regard to walk in love. And you pray the Spirit. Amen. So you drink frequently from your habitat, so you are strong in your habitat. Because you are living in your habitat by faith. Amen. And that's the will of God for us. Okay. So we see this in this way and understand that it is God that is doing this. So and in that habitat, you know, we begin to grow in obedience. Look at this issue of being faithful and operating by faith. You know, let's look at Romans 1:3-5. Romans 1:3-5. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Yes, let's read together. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Next verse. And declared to be the Son of God with, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Next verse. Thank you. By whom we have received grace. What have we received? Grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. The end of it all, brethren, is obedience. We are obedient and we enforce obedience. Bible talks about revenging all disobedience after our own obedience is fulfilled. No, so that's the way we enforce, and that's the purpose. That's what we are faithful to. We are faithful to enforce obedience in our lives, in our home, in our community. Amen. No, Jesus enforced obedience even to the weather. When the weather was miserable, he said, peace be still. The same way we see under covering our fathers, by the mercy and the grace of God, being able to cause the weather to be obedient, to favor the purpose of God at different points in time. Hallelujah. And that's the will of God. So we see, but it's promotion. As you are faithful in one level, God moves you up. How do you know you move? The measure of your rule increases. And you can make things obedient. So you can enforce obedience. But that obedience is coming from consecration. According to the Spirit of holiness. Growing consecration to God. No, inner holiness. And then God releases the wisdom and the power to enable the obedience to manifest. It's not by political agreements. For example, let me give an example from the Bible. David wanted to bring back the ark. It was a good thing. Bible says he spoke to his lords, you know, and they, everybody agreed that, oh God, this is a very correct thing, you know, where we do. And they went and it worked for some time. But then it didn't work again until they got to the threshing floor. Now we're coming to the threshing floor. Once the glory comes, it's going to make a distinction between them that are serving God, like mommy was praying beautifully this morning, and them that are not serving him, but think that they are serving him. You can't serve God your way. You have to serve God his way. You can't do the right thing your way. You must do the right thing God's way. If the way is wrong, the purpose is wrong. The way they taught us in math, minus times plus, is minus. It's minus. So here it's important that in the church we must learn to stay on the straight and narrow path that leads to life. Because once you get off that path, you're on the broad and easy street. And that's not the will of God for us. So we see here, and I want to give an example. Acts 20:7-12. Acts 20, very quickly. We know the story of Eutychus. I don't want to waste time. Story of Eutychus. Okay. And upon the first day of the week, verse 7, okay, when the disciples came together to break bread. What did they come together to do? When you break bread, life is the result. Bible says they were known of him in the breaking of the bread. So when God when God the ceremony of breaking bread is to increase our knowledge of God so that we can know him by experience. First by revelation, and then secondly by experience. So that's the purpose. That's the purpose there. But Paul was preaching. He was just preaching. You know, we're going to get there one day where we'll be preaching from morning until night. Pastor has said it. But that's what happened here. They were going to break bread, but Paul was just preaching and exhorting them, okay? And unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continue the speech until midnight. Somebody said, hey, don't worry. There will be grace. Remember your habitat. You just be drinking. You won't even feel anything. You know, everything will be effortless. Does the fish remember to open his gills to breathe? It's natural. It's natural. When you go to the habitat, you hold your breath. Because that's not your natural habitat. You know, but that's the habitat. They're doing everything effortlessly. It's effortless. Look at verse 8. Verse 8. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. Another message for another day. But let's just leave it to say that the place was well lit. And then Eutychus did not stay in the place that was well lit because my brother Eutychus wanted to sleep. So he looked for, because when there's light there, you find it difficult to sleep. He says, awake from slumber. Amen. So he went to a place that was light. That's why many people staying in the place where it is dark. Brethren, in Jesus' name we have life. All right. I've said enough. Okay. All right. So don't go to the dark place. And your relationship with people, don't go to the dark place. When you come to church, don't go to the dark place. During all night, don't go to the dark place. Don't sit by the window. Eutychus sat by the window. And he fell into a deep, what was an ordinary sleep? It was a deep sleep. Being from his, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk. Can't imagine. Can sleep make a person sink? Sleep can sink you. He sank him down. It was not the devil had taken over. Sleep. You are taking over. Because he was now sunken down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. Next verse. Next verse. And Paul went down and fell on him. And said, and embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is just, picked him up, held him, and imparted life. Hallelujah. Look at, we're talking about obedience. Look at the next verse. When he was therefore come up again, and had broken bread, purpose achieved. That's the reason. The miracle is not done to announce Paul as a man of God capable of raising the dead. The miracle was done because we have to break bread. And at that level, the brethren had scattered. He's not breathing. No. Brother Eutychus, bro, ha. You can imagine, hey, Jesus, how can a person die in the house of God? Hey, can imagine. Amen. So, Bible says, when they had broken bread and had eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, 24 hours in the house of God. So he departed. Next verse. And they brought the young man alive, and they were not a little comforted. That's so the purpose of they would have lost that place, would have been in disarray if the power of God was not there manifested to raise him up from the dead. And he ate. Notice that he said they broke bread and they ate. Breaking bread is not eating. The spiritual ceremony. After they had finished that one, then they were now eating and gisting. And they did it until the morning. You can imagine the joy that was in that place. People were just talking, everybody's sharing, you know, and the presence of the Holy Spirit was there. That's the habitat that we are in. Amen. That's where we are of. Amen. So we see power available, kingdom demonstrated and enforced. And now today, that was the former glory. That was the glory of the early church. But so there's a latter glory now, you know, that we are awaiting. Amen. And the same way, we must consecrate ourselves more to the will of God.
like Daniel did.
Bible says in Daniel chapter 1, it says, describes everything that was going on, and it says in verse 8, it says, but Daniel. So it means Daniel took a different course. He didn't go the course the way everybody else was going. He had to take a different course because his destiny was different, because he had a purpose in God to fulfill. Amen? Right. So we must be courageous enough to go against the course of the world as Christians. We must not allow the world to lead us. We must not allow the world to dictate to us. We must go the course of life and then dictate to the world. What is the course of the world? Look at Isaiah 59, verse 13 to 15. Isaiah 59, you see the course of the world. Well, this is the course of the world. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. This is what is going on in the church. In the world has come into the church. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Verse 15. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Don't we see that? If you do something that is different from everybody else, everybody starts talking about you as if you are doing the wrong thing. Well, you are doing the right thing. How many people have experienced that? It's the course of the world. Amen. Even among brethren. Amen. And the Lord saw it and it displeased him that there was no judgment. But that state is not going to remain like that. Amen. Because a company of people have come. And so how do we walk in the course of life? We practice the weightier matters of the law: judgment, mercy, and faith. Amen. Look at the Amplified Bible, Matthew 23:23, to see that. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you give a tithe of your mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected and omitted the weightier, more important matters of the law: right and justice and mercy and fidelity. These ye ought particularly to have done without neglecting the others. Give it to me in the Message Bible. You are hopeless. It's a message. You are hopeless, you religion scholars and Pharisees. Frauds. Let's read it together now, brethren. Frauds. You keep meticulous account books, tithing on every nickel and dime you get, but on the meat of God's law, revelation knowledge, epignosis, things like fairness and compassion and commitment, the absolute basics, you carelessly take it or leave it. I don't believe that. I don't believe in groaning. I don't believe in light scriptures. You need pick on the word of God. It's talking about that. Amen. Careful bookkeeping is commendable in the church. That you have accountants who come and auditors who come and audit your account and find your accountable. But that's not the key. Careful bookkeeping is commendable, but the basics are required. Amen. It's very important. The basics are required. So this is key for us to understand. And we see this. So it's important. It is in Him we live and move and have our being. So how do we then do this? How do we stay in Him? How do we live in our habitat? We've been taught, very well taught, so I'm not saying anything new. It's attitude. It starts with attitude, flows into prayer, it goes into watching, then in the Word, and finally into obedience. I'll say it again. It starts with attitude. That's the fear of God. Okay, Bible talks about Hebrews 13:17. Obey and submit. You know, for the watch for our souls. I mean, it's very important that as they watch for their soul, they will find peace in doing so. So that's where the mercy and the grace. The mercy comes from the Father. The grace comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are in Him. Amen. So it flows. All right. Then we flow into prayer. Talking about Pauline prayers, the Lord give us, you know, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. So, because everything is light, so those Pauline prayers are important, so we can have a continuous and progressive revelation of light. so that we can see clearly as to into our destiny. Then part of prayer is also putting on the armor of love, so that we can then go into the next phase of prayer, the next aspect of prayer, which is praying with travail. So it's sequential, really, you know, because we need to have light about what we're doing. So as we keep doing that, as we move with attitude into prayer, then we begin to learn to watch. And this is very important, okay? Active in watching and praying. We've been taught Mark 13:35. Let's look at that. It's very important because that's a very present instruction now. Mark 13:35. So stay at your post. No, this is Message Bible. Give it to me in King James. Thank you. Thank you. Watch ye therefore. He's not talking, he says pray, he says watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at cockcrowing, or in the morning. Amen. So we see at least four times a day. You know, and that's how David eventually brought back the ark. It was by sacrificing every six paces he sacrificed. And that's a type of inner consecration. You know, it's the cleansing of the blood, the animals, the shedding of the blood, you know, is the type of using the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse our hearts. And that's how the glory is coming back to the church. Amen. And that's what God is doing now. So that's how the glory is coming back to the church. So we pray and we watch. We ask God for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me in this regard, to pray, you know, to walk in love. And I thank you for your mercies. Lord, I thank. And then you pray in the Spirit. So as you do that, you know, the Holy Spirit takes over, you know, and begins to minister life to you in different areas, begins to bring things up in your mind that you need to correct. And know, as you do that with meditation, you begin to correct things in your heart. And you put yourself in a place where, as it were, you know, you are taking maximum advantage of the spiritual habitat in which you are. The power of God can flow through you. The wisdom of God can flow through you. The love of God can flow through you. That's the will of God. There's no block. No operating. Look at 2 Kings 13:18, talking about Elisha's arrows. And this is something that pastors emphasize. Praying with our thoughts. 2 Kings 13:18. Thank you. And he said, take the arrows. He had shot one arrow before this time. Okay? Talking about the arrow of the Lord's David. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. Next verse. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. We need to annihilate the flesh. We need to kill it. Completely. Not deaden it to a certain level. But completely. Otherwise, whatever is left can always rise up again, as we see from Saul. So here, the man of God is telling him, so apart from praying with our words once every 6 hours at every opportunity, we now, the more frequent praying is with our thoughts. We now start praying with our thoughts, you know, because once you pray with the word, you pray with your mouth in confession, you know, as out of fellowship with God, the spiritual power is in the air. It's all around you. You now begin to direct that power with our thoughts. So every time you're praying with your thoughts, you are directing the power. Lord, have mercy on me. I thank you. And you pray. You know, Lord, have mercy on me. I thank you. And so as you think it and you pray, think it and you pray, what are you doing? You are smiting the ground. Bible says, them that are Christ have crucified the flesh with his affections and lust. So you crucify the flesh. It is that frequency, the greater frequency of prayer at the thought level, that brings a greater frequency of light that causes the quantum leap. Amen. So it's important for us to practice this, you know, consistently. And so, and then we're active in reading. First of all, we're active in listening to anointed teaching. then that where we get the keys of the kingdom to then open up the word of God to us in our Bible reading and Bible study, okay, and meditating on God's word. And then we are active in practicing love and forgiveness. So it's all that, your attitude, your prayers, your watching, the word, and obedience, you know, that takes us, Lord, into where God is going. And look at verse 3, 2 Thessalonians. He says, as we practice this daily, diligently, and consistently, he says that our faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth. There is no, here, he's talking here about the fact that there are no exceptions. Bible says, against such, there is no law. If we walk in the love of God, there is no difficulty, there is no challenge, there is no infirmity that God will not take care of. So every single one of us can be partakers of the glory. Amen. That's what they say. Every one of you all is right there, black and white. So that's going to be our experience in Jesus' name. Every one of us all will overcome those infirmities because God's love is a bulldozer that removes every hindrance. It supplies every need. It outstrips every limitation and prepares us as a holy temple so we can carry God's glory. And that's the will of God. Look at Isaiah 59. This is the second half of Isaiah 59. In verse 17, we now see things changing. Amen. And he puts on the righteousness as a blessed praise, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he puts on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Armor. Armor. When you put on your armor, there's strength. And then God, Bible says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall accomplish it. When he's talking about Isaiah chapter 9, he says, zeal of, talking about, you know, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government to be upon his shoulder. He's talking about all the things that God is doing. And he says at the bottom of it that the zeal of the Lord of hosts, right here, the zeal comes into operation when you begin to put on the armor. So God's zeal takes over. So you start and God takes over. He's our helper. Amen. And as God, look at the next verse, verse 18. According to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense, enforcing the kingdom. Next verse, in place of intercession. Next verse. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. Now, we know that from pastor's teaching, we put the comma in the right place. When the enemy shall come in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard of love against him. So against such, let's do the next verse. Amen. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Like last verse, verse 21. As for me, this is my covenant. God is faithful. He's a covenant-keeping God. This is his covenant, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. We must make sure that our children understand that this is where, this is the weightier matter of the law. This is what life is all about. Fearing God and keeping his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. That word must not depart out of their mouth. They must be at Good Morning Jesus. They must learn to read their Bible. They must confess the word. They must pray with their thoughts. Because that is where they're going to get the strength to be able to speak with the enemy in the gate. It's I and the children, brethren. God has called us for signs and wonders. You and your household. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Faithfulness to God's purpose. One with God is the majority. Don't bow to the standards of the world. Keep his commandments. And God will arise on our behalf. And as you walk in obedience and you are faithful, God will promote. God has promoted and will still yet promote us. So don't be weary. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be holy. Next verse. Rich grace impart.
May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart. My zeal inspire, and thou hast done.
Consecrate ourselves afresh unto the Lord. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me, reminding me that I live in a privileged time. The time of the latter rain, the time of the outpouring of the glory of God, the feast of tabernacles. Heavenly Father, I ask for mercy. I recognize that I live in a spiritual habitat in Christ, in God, where mercy and grace are flowing consistently. I choose to drink frequently from this river of mercy and grace, so I'm able to fulfill your commandments, to enforce the kingdom in my life, in my home, in my community, in my nation and on the earth, so that your glory will be enforced throughout the earth and your purpose will be fulfilled. Help me, Lord. Be my guide day by day, so I will walk with you and in you to fulfill the very end you have ordained for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Spirit, spirit, rapa kaso senga, zefreke ko shanke de bebedi, mareka, rapa papa, zombaria, rapa kaso, zefreke ronda, rapa kata, jefre belu kanta, mapa kaso maya, jewomika bakata tose, zefreke ko shaka karia, mere de be papa, rapa kotebus, rere be kaka, beke de bebedi, rapa pakusepesare daba. In Jesus' name, amen.